John chapter number 3. Now, remember the setting of chapter 3 of John, and I know it's a very familiar portion of Scripture, especially verse 16, one of the most well-known scriptures verses in the Bible. But in chapter 2, Jesus has performed the wedding at Cana. He'd been doing miracles and healing. He had went through the temple, run people out and cleansed them the first time. He did that, and he also proclaimed the fact that he was going to die and resurrect. In chapter 3, we find him communicating with Nicodemus. And tonight I want to look at a couple of things that he shares with Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus came to him wanting to ask him a couple of things about religion. And he shared with him some things about redemption. Nicodemus wasn't ready for what he shared with him. And I want us to try to look at a couple things that may be simple, but yet they're important. And being born again, he talks about, we find several places through the Bible. Some places it says born again, some says born from above, some says born of God, but all of them means the same thing. When we get into the word over in Titus, or regeneration, it means the same thing as born again. It means having a new start on life, a fresh start. When you're born, you have a fresh start. And so that's what the word means. Let's begin reading, if you would, in verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, that ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it list, and now hearest it, the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. Now, Jesus shares some great truths. They may seem simple truths, but there are truths that some people have not got a hold of. I read a survey that said, and the guy said, it said that 70% of people in America believed that they were born again. They thought that they were born again. And so, you know, even since Jimmy Carter came along and he started pushing the idea of being born again. And he started pushing it among other people. And you know, when you talk to people about what it means to be born again, a lot of them has a lot of different ideas. And tonight I want to look at that just a few moments and see what it means. Basically, to be born again and born of the Spirit means to be born from heaven. You have an earthly birth, and you have to have a heavenly birth. You've heard it said before that once born, die twice. Twice born, you die once. I was reading where Benjamin Franklin, he used to receive a lot of letters back and forth and correspond. And a preacher during that time, George Whitefield, wrote him and said this. He said, "I find that you grow more and more famous in the learned world," Whitefield wrote, "as you have made such progress in investigating the mysteries of electricity. I now humbly urge you to give diligent heed to the mystery of new birth. It is a most important and interesting study, and when mastered, which richly repay you for your pains." And so he was trying to encourage Benjamin Franklin. Some people said that Benjamin Franklin was a believer, and some people said he wasn't. But he was trying to encourage him to spend as much time in studying the mysteries of the new birth as he did mysteries of electricity. He would have been far better off. Now, let me say this. To be regenerated, again, means to be born again. There's a difference between reformation and regeneration. I used to get into it with a lot of people with these programs, recovery programs. Now, I don't mind certain things that helps people, but I will say this. You can't take 12 steps and find salvation. It's not in 12 steps. It's in one step. And what they do is they teach a religion of reformation. Reformation whitewashes things. Regeneration washes you white. There's a difference. When you're born again, you're washed white as snow. Amen. When you go, when you turn over a new leaf, you try to start a new page, you just whitewash things. It looks good for a while, but you're still the same thing. Now, let me show you a couple things real quickly. And show you why we have to be born again. The word must here, I understand, is a military term. It means that it is absolutely necessary and imperative. In other words, you must take that hill. It's an imperative command. It leaves no room. So when he says you must be born again, it is the only means of going to heaven. We'll get in that in just a moment. But now look if you would, and think about this just a moment. First of all, your nature and our nature insist that we must be born again. We are born with a sinful nature. Now Nicodemus, somebody said, well, Nicodemus was a good man. And by worldly looks, he probably was. He was a Pharisee, which meant that he tithed, which meant he tried to keep commandments, he tried to keep the traditions of the elders, all those things. He was a master, a teacher. That means that he was an educated man. From what I understand, he was a wealthy man. The historian said he was the third richest man in that area, which means he's very wealthy. But can I tell you this? What a man has does not change what he is. He was a sinner, and it didn't matter what he had in a bank, he was still a sinner. Not only that, but the Bible also says that he was a master of Israel, so they looked upon him with respect, and he would walk through, I'm sure, people would talk about him and honor him for his position. But you got to remember this, regardless of what a man achieves, it does not change what a man is. He's still a sinner. Even though he was an educated man, he's still a sinner. And Jesus asked him, being a master of Israel, he didn't know those things that he was talking about. And all that, as a Pharisee, he was a very religious man. As I said, he tithed, he tried to keep commandments, tried to keep traditions. But listen, even religion doesn't change you or save you. What you have to have is you have to be born again. Your nature requires it. You have a sinful nature. It must be born. You must have a new start. Now, also, the nature of heaven requires it. Because if you go to heaven, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God unless you're born again. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. It is one where you go, and God has prepared that place for us. You can't go without being a new birth. Now, let me say this. When we speak of heaven, we speak of a heaven of spiritual men, of a heaven of praising God, a heaven of delighting in the things of God, communing with Christ, and also fellowshipping with the redeemed people. Now, I know there's a lot of people talks about different heaven. I remember watching when James Brown died. I saw on the news, they flipped it up, Al Sharpton. He made this statement standing up there. He said, James is now in heaven teaching all the angels and teaching all them new dance moves. That may be his figment of heaven. But any other heaven than a heaven of the redeemed is a lie. The only way of going there is by new birth. You must be born again. It is a mandate. The means by which you go is a new birth. The fact that it is a miracle of God is not something that you can perform yourself, but also it will have manifestations in your life and it will change you. And we'll look at some of those things here in just a moment. Now, notice this and remember that when you have birth, your first birth is a physical birth. The second birth that he's talking about is a spiritual birth. Now remember, that birth is the way that you enter into the kingdom in which you're going. You enter into the kingdom of men by birth. Each of you were birthed into this world, this kingdom of men. When you were birthed, you were given all the things that you needed to exist in this kingdom. But when we are born again, we are born into and we are birthed into another kingdom. And when we are birthed in that kingdom, we are given everything that we need to perform in that kingdom. Now let me say this. The thing that most people don't understand, when we get born again, we keep our sinful nature. But Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 says that he gives us a divine nature. And the divine nature that he gives us, then it equips us for everything that we need here. Somebody said, well, preacher, I can't deal with this, I can't deal with that, I can't deal with it. God gives you everything you need to deal with everything that you got. Now, sometimes we don't take advantage of it, but God gives it to us. And we have it available to us. It was given to us in birth, and we were born. And so when we're born, we come and we understand that as we come in here, he says that you're born of the flesh and born of the spirit. And what you need to understand is, some people says, well, what's this water and what's this spirit? And I've heard some people talk all about the water and spirit. And they try to make the water seem this and water do this and baptism and this and that, the other. But all you have to do is take the context of the scripture. He's talking about two things, a physical birth and a spiritual birth. The water is a physical birth. Every one of you, the first thing that happened before you were born was what? Your water broke, or your mom's water broke, right? And so therefore, what happened was you were born of water. And that's not talking about baptism. It's not talking about going in John and in the Jordan River, as I've heard some say. It's not talking about this, that, and the other. It's talking about, when the context is talking about two things, a physical birth and a spiritual birth. And so there, when he's talking about those things, only God can produce a spiritual birth. And so to have a birth, you have to have a seed giver. You have to have a recipient of the seed. You have to have something fertilize the seed. And when you do, then it produces life. Now, the thing that you need to understand is the birth is full of mysteries. It's hard to understand. I've delivered babies before. It's a marvelous scene to see babies come out of wombs. It's amazing. when you look upon a newborn baby. But what you need to understand is that even doctors, there are things about babies they don't understand. There are still mysteries about the physical birth. And sometimes people say, well, preacher, I just don't understand how it means to be born again. And Nicodemus said, what, do I go back into my mother's womb? I mean, can you picture that? If I was a person like me, born again, and can you imagine mom carrying me around? Lord have mercy. But anyway, the point is that we do not. Now, you got to understand what the new birth does is this. The new birth always gives life. You understand? And so, you know, when someone's going through a birth and a baby growing, it's a baby. It's life from a seed. And it grows. And it produces. And the birth is where it comes and is introduced to this kingdom. The kingdom of the world. The kingdom of men. The kingdom of the earth. That's where it comes to. And so what happens is, it's given a new start of life. Then what happens to us when we are born again? We are saved. And when we are born again, we enter into a new kingdom. We get a new start of life. The old things are behind us. Our life starts now. We start a Christian life. We start a saved life. We start a born again life. Right now, we get a new start on life. Imagine this, what we were before we got saved. We were walking around, and how many times have you seen somebody, a wicked man? For instance, take that song, Amazing Grace, and think of the guy who wrote that, John Newton. Boy, a wicked old man, a slave trader, rough man, drunk, and boy, just mean to everybody around him. And look here, all of a sudden he got saved. And he changed to a humble, sweet spirit. And he changed his whole thing. Somebody said, what happened? He got a new birth into a new life. His old life was behind him, and he would come new, and he got into a new life. And that's what happens the moment that we are born again. We are born again into a new life. We are born again to eternal life. Not only that, but also a birth only happens one time. Now listen to me. You can't get born but one time physically. You don't go back in. You don't go and get born two or three times. And can I tell you this? And sometimes I hear people say something like this. Well, I was saved when I was 13. Then later on, I realized and I got saved when I was 21. You didn't say both times. You only got saved once. If you got saved, there's one time and one place that you got saved. Now, I do agree there's sometimes people make mistakes. Sometimes people think, and they come up, and they realize and recognize that they're not saved. And God begins to deal with their heart and draw their heart, and they come. But can I tell you this? There's only one spiritual birth because there's only one physical birth. Once you are spiritually born, then you are forever born into a new life. You have that life from that point on. And so it cannot be undone. It cannot be repeated. Somebody said, well, I had somebody tell me the other day, well, I was saved two or three times. I said, no, you wasn't. You can only be born once, spiritually, same way physically. And when you're born, you enter into the kingdom of God. That's why Jesus said, except you be born, you cannot what? See the kingdom of God. You cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. You cannot enter into that new kingdom, that spiritual kingdom. You cannot go, and the kingdom of God is the kingdom of God rules. You cannot go there. And by the way, heaven would be miserable for someone who did not have a new birth. The new birth prepares you for the new place. And when we get to heaven, what happens is we leave the old fleshly nature behind, and our divine nature goes with us. And when we get up there, we have the things to be able to enjoy the things of heaven. The things that would hinder us from enjoying heaven is left here behind us. But someone who's not born again, they aren't prepared for heaven at all. They wouldn't like heaven. They have nothing to enjoy heaven with. They have no fellowship with God. They have no communion with Jesus. They have no fellowship with the saints. They have nothing in common. They're completely out of place. Because to be able to be a part of that family, you've got to be born into it. And it only happens through a birth. And again, it only happens one time. Amen. Now, know that. But we also find that it takes place because of the suffering of somebody else. That's why you kids, listen to me. You say, well, mom and dad, mom did this, mom did that. Listen, do you have any idea what mom went through to get you here? Do you have any idea what it takes to raise you? Do you have any idea how much time and effort and love is put into you? But look here. We were born because somebody was willing to suffer that we're able to be birthed. And can I tell you this? Our second birth is the same way. The only reason that we are capable of being born again is because someone suffered to see that we could do that. And that was Jesus upon the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
Now, look here. He explains that in verse 13, 14, and he says, as Moses was lifted up, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so even so must Son of Man be lifted up. In other words, he goes back and he says, now listen, there was a time when Moses, because of the sin of the people of Israel, God commanded him to build a serpent of brass of judgment, and he was put in the middle of camp. And what happened was that serpent, God sent fiery serpents, and those serpents was killing people. He was biting them, and they were dying because of the bite from the serpent. And God told Moses, make that serpent, stick it up in the middle of camp on a pole where everybody could see it, and whosoever would look upon there should live. And so that serpent was a means of salvation. Now get this a minute. And Jesus said, just as that serpent was lifted up in that day, he would be lifted up.
Yes, amen.
And therefore, now some people say, preacher, how am I saved? Now get this, because he makes it very simple. That's why I stopped at verse 15. I could have went verse 16, and it would explain as well. But I want you to get this before I close. Two things I want you to see here. See the role of the Savior in this. He died on the cross of Calvary. He said if he be lifted up, he would draw all men to him. He was lifted up as that serpent was lifted up. Now listen to me, those of you who struggle with your salvation, I want you to listen real carefully. You know what those people had to do to be saved when they were bit by a serpent? You said, well, they had to doctor it, and they had to run this, they had to do this. No, they had to do one thing. Look and believe. By faith, they lived. It wasn't the serpent. It was the fact that God put the serpent there and lifted it up. And he said, if you'll look upon it and believe, you'll live. Now, the role of a sinner is this. To believe. That's why we're called believers. And the point I want to make to you, because some of you struggle sometimes, and you say, I don't know if I did enough. I don't know if I... Do you understand? The role of the Savior was to do it. It's your job to believe upon what God provided for us. He is to be lifted up, the fact that he died on the cross for our sins. We are to believe upon him. Nothing else. For by grace are you saved through faith. You put faith in him. You believe upon him. And the Bible says in verse 15 that whosoever believeth on him shall have what? Eternal life. Eternal life is given to you how? Because you believe. And so what you need to understand. So here when he talked to Nicodemus, he talked to him about the new birth. He said, preacher, this is a pretty simple message. Well, it may be a simple message, but listen, it's still something that we must know. And you must be born again. Don't get caught up in this wave that heaven's just whatever everybody wants to make heaven to be. And everybody that wants to go to heaven is going to go to heaven. There's one means of going to heaven, this new birth. And so therefore, even if I have to repeat it and you say, well, I know all that, well, that's good. But if you don't know it, you need to understand that that's the only means, and it's mandated that you must go that way. And there is no other way.
Amen.
And then it's also important to understand that you get it by believing. And of course, he reckoned it like the breeze. You can feel it, but you can't tell where it comes from. But also it manifests itself. It shows after you receive it, it shows in your life. Because there's things that change in your life. Now, let me say this, and I'll close. Two places in the Bible, it speaks of Nicodemus again. I've had people ask me, do you think Nicodemus was saved? Well, I think he was. Because one place in John, I believe chapter 7, he defends Jesus before the Sanhedrin. He, in other words, he put everything at stake that he had. Now later on in John, whenever Joseph of Arimathea is going to put Jesus in the tomb, Nicodemus is there with him helping bury Jesus. But I don't know I just take it by the fact that there seemed to be a change in his life, but that's between him and God. But point is Jesus explained very simply what it takes to enter into the kingdom of God. So my question is this. Have you ever had a new birth? Now, I went down one time to Tennessee and stopped to eat someplace. And when I was in there, this woman saw that we had a little Christian group. We had some kids or something with us. And so she come over and she commenced to tell us how that she had got the second blessing. And she got the ability to speak in tongues, and she got the ability to do this, she got the ability to do that. I said, well, if you got the second blessing, why don't you tell me? She's telling me about how when she got it, it flipped her over the couch, and she flipped over and she landed in the floor on the other side. And I said, well, if you got the second one, tell me about the first one. I said, if second one was that good, must have been awful good first one. Oh, I've always believed. I said, well, you mean always? Well, I've just always believed. I said, you mean there's not a time and place in your life where you were born again? Oh, I've always believed. Sad to say, she may always believe, but she's not saved. You got to be born again.
Amen.
You got to have that new birth.
Right.
And my question to you is, have you ever been born again? It's an imperative. If you have, then like Diane said, you thank God for the fact that you've been saved. Amen. Let's stand tonight.
Thank you.
You remember when that new start came to you? That new beginning, that spiritual life, away from the physical life.